we are going to declare what Pastor has got us declaring every Sunday that we come together. We're going to do that. If you've got your Bible, hold it up. If you've got your phone, hold that up. If you've hidden his word in your heart, hold that up. Because the word is wise. Amen? Let's do it. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say that again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. All right. Amen. So this morning, we have a very special guest, and that's Mr. Ron Skinner. Come on, give him a LifeGate welcome.
Thank you very much. Reminds me of something that John Kennedy said. Of course, it's not cold here today. It is coolish, but it's not cold. John Kennedy was running for election, and he had to make a speech in New Hampshire on like a early February morning. It was an early morning speech, and he got a rousing ovation. And he said, well, like the New Hampshire cow said to the New Hampshire farmer, thank you for a warm hand on a cold day. Okay, let's get into the word. Oh, I love that worship time today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. But we just thank you for you. You don't have to do anything and we'd thank you. You don't have to do anything and we'd praise you. But that's not who you are. You do things because who you are. And we are so grateful to you. Now today, Lord, let this word get into our hearts and minds. And let it establish us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Michael said y'all have been focusing on a month of Thanksgiving. All this month, it was, you know, messages towards that and the other things. So I'm going to go on with that theme about Thanksgiving. In your Bibles, if you want to turn there or if you want to just read it off the screen, Luke 17, we're going to be reading verses 11 through 19. It says this, on the way to Jerusalem, he, talking about Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And I love this little notation. Now he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. But Jesus kept breaking down that wall. All the way through, you see him talking about Samaritans and visiting with Samaritans and making himself known to Samaritans. So Jesus is into breaking down walls of division. I mean, that's a whole other message, and I'm not going there. Actually, that's a whole other series of messages, and I'm not going there unless you want me to do that, and then you can invite me back more often. I don't. sorry about that. Okay. Anyway, I had a friend that did that. He's preached in the pulpit one time, and he started a series. He was filling in 1 week for a pastor, and it was a good series. He started a series, like a 9-message series. And he said, "If you want to hear it, you're going to have to invite me back." And everybody was really excited about this message. Now, they had a great pastor who was a good speaker. And sure enough, he had him come for 9 months. He had him come once a month to continue with that series. And he wound up being on staff at that church because it was good. And the pastor was touched by it, too, and said, we need you here. And so it was a good word. Anyway, so now he went, that was verse 16. Now, he was a Samaritan. an outcast as far as Israel was concerned. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" I'm going to stop right there and say the people who should have known to go back and give praise didn't do it. The one who didn't know did do it. Look what Jesus says to him. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, I really sort of wanted to use the King James Version on this. But the King James Version sometimes sounds so archaic that I think people turn off. It just sounds so thee and thou and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I tried to go with newer versions. But in the King James, it doesn't say to him, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. It says, rise and go your way, your faith has made you whole. Do you know almost all the other translations say well? Well, I'm a guy that likes to look stuff up. I like to look into etymology of words and what they mean. And the word whole is a way better translation than the word well. See, the others were made well because they were cleansed. Let's look at some words here. All 10 of them were healed of their leprosy. And I'm going to spend just a second. Oh, I'm not going to spend more than a second, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time here talking about leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible corresponds with sin. You know, in other words, that was the Bible symbol for sin, was leprosy. So here were these lepers. Now, in leprosy, it's an interesting disease because what happens is it attacks your nerves to where you kind of lose feeling. It also does something else. It shrinks the Achilles tendon that runs here behind your ankle, so that your foot goes up like that. Now you put your foot like this and you can't feel it. Anytime somebody walked, they drag their toes. Now it doesn't take long walking on rocky ground before your toes are bleeding and infected. And what happens in leprosy is because you can't feel, you get cut, it gets infected. You don't know it. It doesn't hurt. And eventually, infection and disease sets in, and your body rots. Literally, your body rots. And as these pieces rot, they fall off. It's a terrible disease. But boy, it shows us a lot about sin, doesn't it? If we take sin into our heart and let it just develop, what happens? We begin to lose our feeling. Our conscience begins to just kind of go away. We begin to lose our emphasis for worship and pray. We don't want to worship and pray. We don't want to hear about God. We have spiritual leprosy. And if it continues, we begin to rot. And parts of us, not our physical body, but parts of us fall off. Parts of us shrivel up and die. Our spiritual man shrivels up. And man was designed body, soul, and spirit. We need to have all three. And when that spiritual man gets to dying, it's not long before the body begins to break down as well. Most of the people in mental institutions are there because their spiritual man died. I'm not going to say all, because that would be claiming something that I don't have proof of. But I do know that most of them are there because of a spiritual problem. And sometimes that problem is the thing called unforgiveness. Oh, but that's a whole other message as well. Well, I'm going to have to come back here all the time in order to... But notice what it says about the lepers. Now, I don't know how much they were missing. I don't know how far along in the disease they were. But it was bad enough that when they started walking back after Jesus told them to go, show themselves to the priest, that they knew they were healed instantly. I'm assuming it's because all of a sudden they started to feel things. Their feet went flat on the ground, or what was left of their feet went flat on the ground. They were cleansed of their disease. The Greek word that's used there is the word, and I hope I say this right, catharizo, or catharizo, depending on where you want to put the accent. It's where we get our word catharsis, which is a purging. And it's talking about they had this purging of the disease. Their disease was gone. The Lord deals with us, and he says, I'm going to make you whole. But the first step is there's a purging. We have to get rid of some things in our lives. Not before we get saved, but when we're saved, we have to get rid of some things. And some people just want to live in that purged state. And that's fine. You're going to heaven. Your fire insurance has been paid up. You're going to heaven. You're going to be there. Good to see you. But this 10th man came back to Jesus. Notice it was a 10th. It was a tithe. How many of you think that was accidental in the scripture? Uh-uh. A tithe came back to Jesus. See, Jesus taught the parables. Jesus taught with straight out teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount. And he also taught with his miracles. So one of the things we're learning is one-tenth needs to come back to Jesus. He's sitting there preaching. This miracle reflects the tithe that belongs to the Lord. This one-tenth came back to Jesus. And when this man came back, he came back and said he was worshiping. Verse 15, it says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He wasn't going, well, I'm saved, but I don't want to offend anybody with it. He said, no, I've been saved from this disease. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me go find Jesus. I'm going to tell him how much I love him. I'm going to tell him how much I appreciate him. I'm going to give thanks to him. He went out of his way to go back. He hadn't been to the priest yet to be declared clean. He said, no, that's not as important. What? You're a leper. You've been separated from society. You've now been healed. You have to go to the priest before you become a part of society again. But he said, that's not as important as going back to Jesus and thanking him and praising him and worshiping him. So then Jesus, when he looks at him, there in verse 19, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The word that they translate into well or whole, let's go to the King James word, whole, is sozo. S-O-Z-O with a long O sound on both O's. Sozo. We use that as the word for salvation. It's not the word for repentance. It's the word for salvation. And it means whole, complete, entire, lacking nothing. Why was it important that Jesus said that to this man? Your faith has made you whole. Now, all he knew about his faith was that he wanted Jesus to heal him. And that when he got healed, he came back to say thank you. I mean, well, of course, Jesus knew more about that because he's got all the inside information on it. He's got a great information source. But Jesus didn't, you know, history of this man showing that he had faith. He showed one time that he had faith. And he acted on it. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Well, when you're a leper, you can be cleansed, but you're not whole. Because pieces are gone. You ready for this? Pieces grew back. Because when Jesus used that word whole, he just wasn't throwing it out there accidentally. He said, you're going to be made whole. Also, the word also means restored. You're going to be restored. Now you look at me and say, wow, I never heard about anything like that in the scriptures. Really? You haven't read the scriptures then? You haven't really read them. You may have read them, but you didn't really read them. Because we'd hear about Jesus all the time he's ministering. He healed the sick, the lamed, the maimed, and the halt. Let's focus in on the maimed. What does that word mean? Let me give you an image. A peg leg pirate has been maimed because part of his leg went off in a duel with swords or got bitten by a shark or whatever. But he's got a peg leg because something's missing. That's known as maimed. So all through his ministry, Jesus was healing the sick, the lame, the halt, and the maimed. It was not unusual for parts to grow back when Jesus was there. Now, how do we relate this to who we are? That salvation, that making whole, that restoring, things that we have lost. Eternal things, spiritual things are come back to us. They come back to us. We get restored. All of a sudden, we're no longer a creature that's dying. We're a creature that's living because the living God has now come into our lives and is making things better. So we wind up being restored. Now, how do we get that restoration? Well, how did this guy get restored? He came back worshiping in a loud voice. I'm not going to tell you you have to worship in a loud voice. Somebody said God isn't deaf. Yeah, but he likes rock music. I believe God likes rock music. Maybe that might be me creating God in my image instead of me being creating his image. I don't know. But I believe God likes really good music of all kinds. By the way, that last song we did, I don't know when I'm going to be here next, but next time, could y'all do that with a reggae beat? I mean, just think of it. You're almost there. You can. I wanted to say, well, he is worthy, man. You know? I heard it with the reggae beat. Just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there. But it would be nice. Even if you just do it in practice when I'm here so I can hear it. That would be fun. Where was I? Okay. So he came back and worshiped the Lord. Praised the Lord. Gave thanks. Thanksgiving led to restoration. Thanksgiving led to wholeness. And when those parts grow back, you know what? The scars are gone. Sometimes we experience salvation in the cleansing part of it, but we still have the scars. And we want to get rid of the scars. I have scripture for you. In Philippians chapter 4. Now, by the way, none of these scriptures are unfamiliar. But you know, the Word of God is wonderful because it keeps showing you things over and over and over again. Some of it's the same old stuff just being confirmed. And sometimes it's brand new revelation to you. That doesn't mean it's brand new revelation to everybody else, but it's brand new revelation to you. So Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Worship. Worship is thankfulness. We're worshiping. We're thanking. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's put it, give thanks in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. He doesn't want sad thanks. Oh, God. I guess I have to thank you. Preacher said I had to thank you. So I guess I have to thank you. He doesn't want Eeyore thanks. He wants Tigger thanks. Boing, boing, boing. Tigger, he's just bouncing all over the place. He's always upbeat. He's always smiling. He's always doing all of this kind of stuff. And even Eeyore's, oh, it's going to be a blustery day, doesn't affect Tigger. Doesn't affect. He's just, we need to be like Tigger. Not Trigger, Tigger. Okay. want to make sure y'all get that right. Let's go to verse 8 now. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Your reasonableness. What's that talking about? That's how you talk to people. Don't beat people over the head. Jesus didn't beat people over the head. Well, except for the Pharisees and the money changers, you know. Jesus did beat people over the head. He met them where they were. He loved them where they were. And they responded to that love. They responded to his care. They responded to, you know, we can get in arguments with people. And I love arguments. And I have a few friends that we can argue all day long. But neither one of us, we never get offended. Because we both like doing that. We look at it as iron sharpening iron. But, you know, sometimes we want to sharpen against aluminum. And people look at us as a boulder instead of a piece of iron. So, reasonableness. In other words, talk to people like they're people and like you respect them. Once again, there's so many messages here. He says, so the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then let your request. You're giving him thanks before you've even asked what you need. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have that attitude of thankfulness, because that attitude of thankfulness will make us whole. Listen to me very carefully. That attitude of thankfulness will heal the scars. That attitude of thankfulness will heal the scars. In verse 6 it says, but in everything. How much is everything? It's everything, yeah. Well, as the guy said, you couldn't have everything. Where would you put it? You know? Everything. In everything. Now, it doesn't say for everything. Sometimes you're in a position where you can't give thanks for whatever it is that's going on in your life. But you're supposed to give thanks in what's going on in your life. And if you let the wholeness that the Holy Spirit wants to give you through your thanksgiving and praise, if you let that happen in your life, it'll heal the scars, and eventually you'll be able to thank the Lord for some things that you couldn't thank him for when you were in some things, but you thanked him anyhow because you were in it, not for it. We have some unfortunate things that happen to us in our lives. But we're supposed to be thankful and praising the Lord. We're supposed to be being whole during that whole time. And eventually, you know, I look at my life and I look at some things that were just shattering. 60 years ago. 50 years ago. But now, I look at what I've come through. I'm at the other side of it. And guess what? The scars aren't even there anymore. The scars aren't even there anymore. Yeah, I got purged, got saved. But then through an attitude of worship and praise, I got made whole. The key to wholeness is thankfulness, thanksgiving. When I was here a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Michael sang part of an Andre Crouch song called Through It All. He sang the first verse. I like the second verse. I actually like the second verse better. It goes something like, well, I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the trials he brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know my God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. And he goes on, like, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God, oh, through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. Do you want to get to the place where you can thank God for the mountains and the valleys? Thank Him for all the struggles you've been through? Not just thank Him in them, but actually come to a place where you thank Him for them. When Paul wrote these words in Philippians, he knew exactly what he was talking about, because he went through some things that we haven't been through. I don't think any of you have been stoned to death. Oh, some of you in your former life might have been stoned. But but we won't talk about that. But they stoned Paul. And, you know, the Bible says, and they left him for dead. No, they didn't leave him for dead. They left him dead. Because if you know anything about stoning, it was execution. It wasn't just people getting mad and throwing rocks at you. It was execution. And they weren't from Arkansas. They didn't throw little rocks. They threw big rocks. And one of the things that happened in stoning was when they thought the person was dead, someone would grab a huge stone and walk over and slam it on their head just to make sure. Paul wasn't left for dead. Paul was left dead. But the Spirit of God said, I'm not finished with you yet. Paul wrote that he saw things it wasn't legal for him to write about. Well, that's when he saw him, when he was dead, when he was resurrected right there. Paul had that experience. Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. He's saying, in everything, be whole. Be complete. Don't have anything missing. We can go through things and still have not have every. Let me get this right. We can go through things, but still be whole and complete while we're going through them. We can still be giving thanks to God in spite of what we're going through. We can still say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for my family. Thank you, Lord, for letting me know I can be whole. Today I want to ask you, you have scars. You've been cleansed. You've been purged. And you don't know it yet, but you've been made whole, but those scars are still there. I want to pray today that for everyone in this place, that the wholeness of God's love, the wholeness of His peace, the wholeness of His person is going to remove the scars of your life. The old hurts that when you think about them, hurt all over again. The old things that were wounds and you say, well, I still show the wound from that scar. Let's get rid of the scar tissue. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know you want to make us whole. We know you want to make us complete, lacking nothing. And you have it all there for us. All we have to do is access it. So, Father, through praise and thanksgiving and worship, we're going to access the wholeness that you have. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we begin to do the process, let the scars be gone. Lord, not just healed, but gone. The scars gone. Let the mental scars, the psychological scars, the emotional scars, let those be gone in the name of Jesus. Because your faith has made you whole. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance unto you and be gracious to you. God bless each and every one of you. You are officially dismissed.